Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a partially written sermon already this week on the gospel passage. I love the sacraments, both baptism and communion, and I love talking about and thinking about and preaching about all that they mean for us and in our journeys of discipleship. But there was something about the Old Testament lesson that kept drawing me back to it. It seems like a strange story, one that really was accidentally included in Scripture because it talks about a very human, a very vulnerable moment for Elijah. It's not a moment of victory or grandness or celebration. It lifts up a moment for him of struggle, of vulnerability. And I thought maybe this is God's word for us today. One of my colleagues said in a sermon last week, "You can be fully faithful to God and still have struggles." And I think this is true. We can be fully faithful to God and still struggle in body, mind, or spirit. And who of us isn't struggling with something right now? I bet if we went around the entire sanctuary, each of us could say at least one thing that we're struggling with right now. And if you have the good fortune to be in a good place right now where things are kind of at an even keel, that is a blessing. But even if things are okay for you now, you've had a struggle before and you're going to have a struggle again. This is what it means to be human and to be alive. But you can be fully faithful to God and still struggle. And I think this is made very clear for us in today's Old Testament reading. A little bit of the backstory. The books of 1 and 2 Kings are history books of Israel, and one of the great prophets of Israel, Elijah, had just defeated some false prophets, the prophets of Baal, and it sent Queen Jezebel, the reigning monarch, into a tailspin. She was so livid and angry that Elijah had done this, she put out a threat on his life. He had killed the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and the threat, I think, was not just to these prophets, but it carried political and religious significance for Queen Jezebel as well. From a political standpoint, the prophets of Baal were strong supporters of the monarchy. For those of you in Bible study, these prophets of Baal, they propped up the big deal and they oppressed the little deals. And so the queen had now lost her religious and political importance in front of many, many people because these false prophets had been defeated. She was livid and she wanted Elijah's life. So Elijah, who had now become a criminal and an enemy of the state, had 24 hours to live, and he fled for his life. In spite of all that God had miraculously done just a chapter in 1 Kings before today's readings, Jezebel's threat was the final straw for Elijah. He had carried the weight of so much all throughout his career as a prophet, and he just couldn't take this last threat. He feared for his life, and he ran to Beersheba. This is mentioned in Scripture to let us know that when he got there, he was officially out of the queen's jurisdiction. So if he were to have been found there, he technically could not have been killed. But he didn't feel safe there, and so he went 24 hours, one more day, into the wilderness. His life was spared, but we catch up with him as he is sitting by himself under a lone tree. We know that adrenaline can only carry us so far, and so Elijah, now out of imminent danger, was physically and emotionally mentally and spiritually exhausted. He was overwhelmed by all that he had been through these last 48 hours of his life, as well as all that he had experienced since being called by God as a prophet. When we encounter him in this story, he is discouraged, distressed, dismayed, and disheartened. And he believed that the only way to true safety was to plead with God to take his life. Alone in the wilderness, literally and emotionally, and isolated from all those who knew him, he truly felt like he couldn't go on. Throughout our lives, we experience a variety of emotions related to the different demands of our lives in different seasons. I imagine there are plenty of people within the sound of my voice, in person and via Facebook, who are experiencing or who have experienced the same or similar feelings of Elijah as we live out the responsibilities we have in our own lives, and as we live out the responsibilities of what we are called by God to do. Maybe right now you are caring for a loved one. Caregiving, although it can be a gift and a privilege, is incredibly challenging and difficult work. Maybe we are trapped in a terrible rut at work, and you're incredibly unhappy, and you can't see a way that things would get any better at work. Maybe we're in over our heads with a struggle or struggles within our families or other relationships. There are any number of things that we can be struggling with. I'm thinking particularly of teachers and school staff who are preparing for kids to come back to school this year, in a school year that is even more difficult than last in the midst of the pandemic. I'm thinking of doctors and nurses and other medical staff who are continuing to lay their life on the lines to care for others in an unrelenting pandemic. Elijah, although he was a great prophet of God, he, like us, was just a human, trying to faithfully live out his call from God. And at this point in his life, he was struggling in every way. He sat under that broom tree and cried out to God, sharing his deepest needs. But Elijah was not alone under that tree. God had never left his side. And God was already sitting there right with him as Elijah pleaded for God to take his life. Maybe it's sitting at the foot of a loved one's bed, or at a desk covered in paperwork that needs attention, or being sequestered in your home, not knowing what to do next. Whatever you find yourself struggling with, cry out to God. God is already there with you. God wants you to cry out with your deepest needs and longings. Acknowledging our struggles and our feelings, emotions that we can't explain, or some that we try to ignore by pretending they don't exist, it's not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength, and it is a sign of trust in God. We trust that God is with us and that God hears us when we cry out to God. So Elijah did cry out to God, and God gave exactly what Elijah needed: sleep and nourishment. When we are struggling, we would prefer that God remove our struggles or take us out of it. But the psalmist in Psalm 23 reminds us that God is with us even in the darkest of valleys, and that we don't have to fear any evil because God is with us. But we all know that when we are struggling, some of the things that are the easiest to do are also the hardest to do. So when I'm often talking with someone who is going through a difficult situation or who has lost a loved one, one of the first things I ask them about are, have you been sleeping? How are you sleeping? Are you hydrating? Are you drinking enough water? Have you had a good meal? Are you eating nourishing food? We need to eat food that nourishes our bodies. The truth is, we often overlook meeting our basic needs when we struggle. But notice in this story that what God does for Elijah is meet Elijah's basic needs of sleep and food and water. God came to Elijah by the hand of an angel who fed Elijah not once, but twice. And it was through sleep and bread and water, through meeting his most basic needs, that God provided for Elijah and carried him through his struggle. Because although Elijah was ready to be done, God was not done with him. God listened to him. God cared for him. God provided for his basic needs and sent him on his way because God had more for Elijah to do. Elijah experienced the mysterious and unexpected presence and provision and voice of God while in the wilderness. Elijah heard God's plea. God heard Elijah's plea, and God hears our pleas. God was with Elijah in his struggles, and God is with us in ours. And there are some times, more often than not, that God uses the ministry of angels or of others to walk alongside of us and support us in our struggles. But here's the rub. We don't really like to ask for help. I bet if I asked you to raise your hand if you like to ask for help, there'd be 1, 2, if any, hands raised. We feel like we have to take care of ourselves, that it's too vulnerable, too embarrassing to ask others for help. But here's the thing. When others ask us for help, we don't see it as a sign of embarrassment for them. We don't encourage them to take care of themselves. We are so happy and grateful to be able to care for them. They are so happy and grateful to also be able to care for us. It's not a shame or a sign of weakness if we ask for help. It's actually a sign of strength. And it's biblical. Asking for help is a gift that God gives God's people because we are a family of faith. And it is our gift and privilege and joy and duty to love and care for one another. And so sometimes in our struggles, God sends people along to help us. And sometimes we might have to ask for help, but God always provides people for us to love us and care for us. It might take the form of loving family members, concerned friends, a pastor, maybe an ever-present pet, maybe even the help of a therapist or a counselor. I know it's hard to ask for help. I wouldn't have raised my hand either. But this is one of the ways that God most often provides love and care for us, through other people. Brothers and sisters, God is never not with us. God is always with us in mountain highs, in valley lows, and all of the landscapes of life in between. God goes before us and behind us and beside of us, above us and below us. And don't forget, in your baptism, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit who lives within you forever. We are constantly surrounded by God's love and presence our whole lives long. And in the midst of life and the struggles of life, Jesus draws us and continues to draw us to himself. And each week as we come to worship, offers himself to us as the bread of life. When we come to our Lord's table, God has already set a place for us, and Jesus offers his body and blood as sustenance and nourishment for the journey. Because like Elijah, God wants to send us from this place because there is more work to be done. The world needs more of God's love, and we can share that with the world. So wherever you are going, whatever you are going through, come to God's table. Be nourished, be comforted, be refreshed, and be nourished. Take into your body Christ's body and blood that was shed for you. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good, and the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ will strengthen you, and it will keep you in his grace. Amen.